fasciation is just a little bit of genetic weirdness that happens to the plant when it just kind of gets some mixed signals about how it's supposed to grow, and that's all right. They're fun to find. Rose mallow is a great plant to use around ponds and wetlands. The flowers are often white or pink with a darker reddish throat. The really cool thing about these is these flowers are like dinner plate sized. Okay, we're talking like 8 inches across. They are huge. And so if you have a particularly wet area, this is a great plant to put there. You know, maybe you've got a pond again, like we had talked about for the turtles or something. And speaking of, turtles can eat these flowers as well. So it makes a nice little treat for them. And it's a host plant for moth and butterfly species like the checkered skipper, as well as visited frequently by hummingbirds, orioles, and a whole host of pollinators. Coreopsis is another great choice that's native and doesn't need fertilizing. There are many species of Coreopsis that'll fit a variety of landscape types. Some like it dry, others not as much. Some like sandy soils, while others can handle heavier clay. Just don't fertilize it and don't overwater it, or, you know, most of the time you don't need to water it at all. And they'll be fine. All the species I have experience with bloom for a really long time. And they just make these really bright, showy mounds. It's just really great to have these big gold-colored mounds. And, this is cool, research has shown that Coreopsis is attractive to the natural predators of some of the more prolific pests like aphids. So if you have trouble with aphids, plant some Coreopsis and it will bring in the minute pirate bug. Now, I'm sure the minute pirate bug does not look like what I'm picturing in my head. I'm sure it does not have an eye patch and a peg leg, but that is how I'm going to picture. I've specifically not looked it up because that's what I want to picture. Anyway, there are also many, many more great native options, including black-eyed Susans, bee balms, goldenrod, liatris, wild rose. Though watch out for the thorns with the wild rose. They can be kind of nasty. And I would like to thank Dr. Amy Fisher-Brown, as I mentioned earlier, the professor of companion animal biology and humane education at the University of Illinois. Again, that ASPCA link is there. It's got that huge list of plants that are toxic to dogs and cats, as well as safe. And not only does it have the plant listed on there, it'll tell you what the specific compound that's bad is, what effects to look out for. And again, dogs, cats, horses, you know, it's really a great, great website. And that's it. With that, I will take some questions.